From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
President Arthur Robinson about to end Trinidad's constitutional impasse. Dominica's Newman at the helm wants a government of national unity, and violence against the police in Grenada leaves one officer dead. I'm Ken Richards, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. Trinidadian President Arthur Robinson says he will end the country's constitutional impasse and sign the revocation of the appointment of two Tobago senators. For 2 weeks now, he's been refusing to revoke the appointment of these two government senators. Mr. Robinson took the position that to do so was against the foundation agreement between the two parties which formed the coalition government in 1995 and that it would work against the interests of Tobago. Tony Fraser reports on Mr. Robinson's statement issued earlier today.
In his statement, President Robinson wishes to inform the national community that he considers that the matters surrounding the proposed removal of the two Tobago senators have been fully aired in the nation. Therefore, President Robinson says he will now act on the advice of the Prime Minister. However, the statement puts a time frame on the revocation letters going to the senators. In the news release to the media, President Robinson says the letters removing the two senators and those who will replace them will be sent within 3 days. President Robinson's release goes on to say that the president is of the view that constitutional reform is needed to take account of the special interests of the island of Tobago. Meanwhile, the president's office could not say if President Robinson will meet with Prime Minister Pandey's request for a meeting on Thursday. Today's release from President Robinson comes after a team from the interreligious organization met on Monday and Tuesday with the President and the Prime Minister. Sources told BBC Caribbean Report that the religious leaders advised the President to sign the documents to remove the senators. I was told that the President said he would do so, but the Prime Minister must meet with the Chief Secretary of the Tobago House of Assembly to decide on two new appointments. Tony Fraser in Port of Spain for BBC Caribbean Report.
Prior to today's statement by Mr. Robinson, former President Sir Ellis Clark told me the situation wasn't a case of who's right or wrong.
I wouldn't say that the President is digging in his heels. I think the situation is too obscure to give any description of it. I think that there are things that may well be happening that we don't know about. The next few days might be very important.
But when we last spoke with you, you were suggesting that after the necessary consultations, the President should have, in fact, revoked the appointments as requested by the Prime Minister.
Well, other issues arose. If you remember when I spoke, I said if, and there were several ifs, and they didn't occur. When I spoke, there was supposed to have been a meeting, and that meeting didn't come off. I'm not saying that there are rights or wrongs. I don't think at this stage I'd be prepared to say that anybody was right or anybody was wrong. I'm simply saying that things are happening and I feel that they should be left to happen without any comments from anyone.
Sir Ellis Clark. The nuts and bolts of Dominica's first coalition government were still being put in place today, although Prime Minister-designate Rosie Douglas was hoping to be sworn in by this afternoon. President Vernon Shaw has since confirmed that Mr. Douglas will take the oath of office Thursday morning at 9:30 local time. A Dominica Labour Party team led by Mr. Douglas was meeting with Dominica Freedom Party officials to hammer out the details for a new administration following Monday's general election. The United Workers Party failed to retain power there, winning only 9 of the 21 seats, with 12 seats between them, Labour 10 and the Freedom Party 2. The former opposition parties are about to initiate what Mr. Douglas is calling a government of national unity. I asked him how the arrangement would work.
They agreed today that the Dominica Freedom Party would receive 2 cabinet positions and 2 senators. As to who the cabinet ministers are going to be, as to who the senators are going to be, that has not been decided yet. They're going to meet this afternoon to finalize that. I should also add that, at least from the Senate of the Dominica Labour Party, we are not opposed to a government of national unity. We believe that we need an all-inclusive government. And for that reason, those from the UWP who are not tainted during the period of corruption should question themselves as to what is better for them in terms of trying to serve the national interests. And I would welcome, particularly the new people who got elected from the UWP, who do not have that baggage of corruption to carry, to come into the new government.
What portfolios are you going to keep for yourself, Mr. Douglas?
Well, I mean, Prime Minister position and whatever else through the process of negotiation that are assigned to me, I think I'll be able to handle it. My primary responsibility is to attract more and more lucrative investment to get the economy going and get our private sector going by maintaining a lid on any kind of corruption in the country.
What safeguards are there going to be against the possible breakup of the coalition?
Well, the safeguard will be the people of Dominica themselves. We are taking the oath of office. It's an experimental situation that we find ourselves in, and we're just going to have to deliver. If we're unable to deliver, then like everything else, failure leads to disaster.
Prime Minister-designate Rosie Douglas, Dominica Freedom Party leader Charles Savre says his DFP is pleased that the present accommodation has resulted in the defeat of the United Workers Party, which he alleges ran a corrupt regime.
We have succeeded in doing that, and therefore I am entirely satisfied that ours was the right decision and that we have in fact obtained the objective that we set ourselves. I think we can structure a government which will show the input of the Freedom Party and that of the Labour Party, and that working together we will be able to deal with the problems of this country and create hope for the people of Dominica and answers to the many questions which are confronting this country both socially, morally and economically.
DFP's Charles Savre. A third political party is being formed in the Bahamas yet again to try to break the two-party monopoly in politics. Third parties have come and gone over the years, but this one appears to have a large potential following. Jessica Robertson assesses whether this new group stands a fighting chance.
The Bahamas' newest political party, the People's Labor Movement, says its agenda will be to represent and lobby for workers' rights. The party, led by Trade Union Congress President Obie Ferguson, believes the only way their members will be looked out for is if union leaders have direct participation in both houses of parliament.
We are trying to ensure that the workers have a say at the highest level. All we are attempting to achieve is equality in our society.
Should the party be successful at the next general election, they will have accomplished something many before have tried and failed. The Bahamas is a two-party system, and Bahamians traditionally vote either Free National Movement or Progressive Liberal Party. Political analyst Felix Bethel, a social sciences lecturer at the College of the Bahamas, does not predict a change in this anytime soon.
The two-party system is, for the moment, entrenched, and I don't believe that the average Bahamian voter has any real consciousness of a workers' party.
But given the sheer numbers, some believe this people's labor movement stands a fighting chance. Already, 25 union leaders have placed their support behind the party. They have a combined membership in excess of 40,000. Considering the country's population falls just shy of 300,000, support of that kind could make a difference. But will workers abandon their loyalty to the major political parties? Mr. Ferguson thinks they will, on a matter of principle.
I think the workers would not even support us. They would support the agenda. Our agenda is a workers' agenda. I find it difficult that a worker will not support themselves.
A general election must be held by March 2002. Many speculate the government will call one earlier, perhaps even next year. Add to this the dismal record third parties have had in Bahamian politics, and the People's Labor Movement is fighting an uphill battle all the way. In Nassau, Bahamas, I'm Jessica Robertson for BBC Caribbean Report.
A congressman is calling on U.S. politicians sympathetic to Caribbean interests to come together to develop a comprehensive policy on the region. Congressman Major Owens says the plan is to ensure that Caribbean interests are paid attention to in Washington, but his initiative came as a surprise because he voted against a bill giving parity to the Caribbean. Leslie Goff reports.
It came as a big surprise that Congressman Major Owens, who though he represents a mostly Caribbean electorate in Brooklyn, New York, voted against trade parity for the Caribbean, should take the lead as an advocate for Caribbean concerns in the U.S. Congress.
It is a little ridiculous that this hemisphere is not being watched more closely. What I was attempting to do is call for a united effort, combining the clout of the Congressional Black Caucus with the clout of the governments of the Caribbean. They may be small islands, but they have a vote in the United Nations. They are not helpless, and we need to find a way to combine all that to get a better deal from the U.S. for the Caribbean.
And though many in the Caribbean community remain skeptical of the congressman's efforts, Dr. Basil Wilson, a Jamaican-born professor at New York City University, says he ought to be given a second chance.
This is his attempt to demonstrate to his Caribbean constituency that that he is in fact keying in on some of the critical issues affecting Caribbean people in the metropolitan areas. But then it is out of this kind of dialectic that you can get legislation that is going to be beneficial to the Caribbean community.
And in a further effort to rehabilitate his image, Congressman Owens has announced plans to introduce a bill pushing for a broad-based amnesty for the more than 5 million illegal immigrants, many of them from the Caribbean, living in the United States.
This is an election year, and I think the immigrant influence can play a major role in some key states.
Whether Congressman Owens' initiatives help the Caribbean or help him in his bid for a new term later this year, only time will tell. For BBC Caribbean Report, this is Leslie Goff in New York.
A presidential appeal for continuation of American training exercises on the island of Vieques is among factors Puerto Ricans will take into account when voting in a referendum on the issue. President Clinton's appeal comes as the authorities in San Juan prepare to remove protesters from Vieques. Under a deal between the Puerto Rican government and the U.S. Navy, the protesters are to be removed within the next 2 weeks. Puerto Ricans are to vote in a referendum about the future of the U.S. base within the next year. Debbie Ransom asked journalist Gary Twemenin how the voters were likely to go.
Given that there is until the end of 2001 really to get the referendum done, there is plenty of time for a lot of politicking. It is an election year, so there's possibilities of both the Popular Party and the New Progressive Party arguing over the timeline. The Independence Party wants, of course, all military activity to cease in Puerto Rico, so they're going to make much of it. It's hard to really say at this point, except that most Viequenses, as well as Puerto Ricans, do want the military to remain in Puerto Rico as part of national defense and national security.
What about the whole issue of local jobs? Obviously, the Navy being there must be bringing some money into the economy. Is that going to help sway the argument?
It could. There's some $300 million that comes into our economy as a result of the Roosevelt Roads Naval Station, which oversees all the Navy's operations. The U.S. Senate has vowed to hold hearings, though, that would challenge the presence of all the military here if their readiness is challenged by the Navy having to leave Vieques. That could be a big dip in our economy.
And what about the independence movement? Have they gone quiet since the deal's been struck?
They have vowed to continue the civil disobedience until all bombing ceases, until all military leaves the island of Vieques. They may be removed. The president has ordered that the target range on Vieques should be cleared. There's no indication when that will take place, but the U.S. Marshals are poised to act. The Puerto Rico Police Department has said it will only intervene in terms of the protesters being on local jurisdiction, but nonetheless it is expected within a 15-day notice being given that they will be moved from that location.
Gary Twemenin speaking to Debbie Ransom. In Grenada, there have been calls for the police to be armed after several attacks on members of the force that left one policeman dead. Two people have been killed in what's been described as an upsurge in violent crime on the island. The policeman was stabbed to death in broad daylight in the heart of the capital, St. George's. Lou Smith reports.
Within 24 hours, a second police officer was stabbed, but he survived to someday tell the story. Like the previous incident, the second attack took place in the capital, St. George's. But no one can as yet say what was the exact motive. The policeman, a sergeant, has since been released from hospital as well. There was a third attack on the police. It came from a prisoner waiting for the opening of the February assizes. No injuries were reported in this case. The attacks on the police have led to calls for them to be armed. Among those making the call was the immediate past president of the Bar Association, Anselm Clowden. But former Attorney General, Attorney Francis Alexis, doesn't agree.
I object to that. I don't think that that is what is called for. This kind of knee-jerk response to a situation very often is counterproductive and can escalate the situation. What we need to do is to sit down very calmly, look at the root causes of crime. This killing yesterday of the police officer has nothing to do with any organized resistance to police officers.
That kind of public support is what the police are asking for, since in the words of one senior officer, quote, "Somebody wants to bring the fight to us. No problem." Lou Smith in St. George's for BBC Caribbean Report.
Reports from Brussels say Cuba has officially asked to join the group of African, Caribbean and Pacific countries. The Cuban request emerged during a meeting between the ACP countries and the European Union to discuss a new agreement to replace the Lomé Treaty on Trade and Aid, which expires at the end of this month. The ACP countries have expressed their support for Cuba's membership, saying the Caribbean island suffers economic problems similar to theirs. Cuba's application would have to be approved by a joint EU-ACP council. And that's it for today's edition of BBC Caribbean Report. Join us at 11.05, 11.15 and 12.10 GMT for our next morning programs. I'm Ken Richards, saying goodbye from London.